This is Director Laurie Duran with the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness, welcoming you to the latest episode of Intelligence Unclassified, a podcast about counterterrorism, cybersecurity, and resiliency. Join us as we tap into local, national, and world-renowned experts to discuss New Jersey's diverse threat landscape and to give you a greater perspective on the current trends and challenges facing our great state. If this is your first time listening, we're happy to have you. You can also follow NJOHSP on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. All links can be found in the show notes and on our website, njohsp.gov.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another podcast episode of Intelligence Unclassified, our monthly podcast from the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness. My name is Maria Prado, Director of Communications, and I am joined here by Dean Raymond from our Intelligence Management Bureau. And he's here today to talk to us about one of the larger campaigns that we run annually here at NJOHSP. So I'll open it up with that. Dean, what do you have to tell us about this campaign? Are there any nuances or?
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Happy you're here.
As this major holiday season approaches, we're encouraging everyone to be aware of their surroundings, report any suspicious or unusual activity that they see or that they may observe. We've partnered with the New Jersey Department of Transportation, and this year again, during the season, we're going to be displaying on the digital billboards that the Department of Transportation has to report suspicious activity, to remind people of that. And we also will be displaying our NJOHSB tip line number, which is the 1-866 number 4 safe NJ.
Got to plug that one. Now, you touched on something, unusual activity, not just suspicious. Why do you say unusual? What do you mean by that?
Well, because when it comes to the general public, you really can't define behavior as being suspicious, but you can define what would be abnormal or not the usual type of behavior that you would see day to day.
Okay, that makes sense. So, you know, we appreciate the updates here. And while we're leading a number of initiatives in the state, we're by no means alone in this, correct?
No, we have a lot of partners across the state. Especially this time of year, we have a lot of holiday mass gatherings. And in the past, worldwide, they've been targets for violence. So ever since the Boston Marathon bombing, we have seen the value in identifying large gatherings and events. And, you know, because they are potentials for terrorism activity. So we gather all that information. We keep track of concerts and parades, festivals, historical events that are symbolic even. And what we do with that information is we share that with all the law enforcement partners in the state, and it helps with planning and helping to secure those events.
Sure. And you guys, even that special events listing, that's pretty popular in our office, right? We allow some organizations to contact us if there's a certain crowd size, and we end up collaborating with the local authorities, state authorities, and is there any federal authorities involved in this collaboration?
Yeah, they're made aware of the events, and they're also rated by the size of the event, you know, what the expected attendance is.
Okay.
Like that.
All right. So you know that suspicious activity is so critical to what we do here, intensely critical, because we depend on the public, right, to be our eyes and ears out there. So just curious, what should the public be on the lookout for? Or maybe you can even elaborate on what they shouldn't be on the lookout for.
Well, I think it's important to note first that there's no known or specific or credible threats in New Jersey.
It's important.
So so we don't have anything very specific to watch for. But what we do try to encourage the public is to watch for suspicious or mainly unusual behavior. And when we say behavior, that's what we mean. So you're not looking or you're not basing any kind of concern over anyone's appearance, over their race or ethnicity or anything like that. It's behavior. What is their unusual behavior that you notice.
Okay. And I know that we have a whole list, right? There's a 15 signs of suspicious activity.
We do. On our website, we have 15 signs that we feel are potentially behavior that could be terrorism related. 15 of those. But what we say to everyone is that it's difficult for the public to determine when they see behavior, whether it's an actual threat. So we want the unusual behavior reported because people could be, if you see unusual behavior, you know, it could be someone that's planning a some kind of attack or an act of violence, or it could be somebody having a medical issue, or it could be somebody having a family issue, or suddenly they're homeless. So what we want to stress to everyone is to call the police department when you see this unusual behavior. You know, 30 years ago, law enforcement had limited resources. You know, in this day and age, regardless of what the issue is that person's having, the police are the ones that can get the right resources to help people. So you don't want to feel like you're calling the police because they are definitely going to do something bad, because they might just need assistance. So everyone should be encouraged to call for any of that, you know, any of that unusual behavior.
And I do feel like law enforcement today is trained in some respects to deal with like different incidents that are coming up. So it may be terrorist related. It may be a mental health issue that they need to reach out to social services. So that's probably, you know, an evolution in law enforcement too, I would imagine.
Oh, big change. Some of the behavior, for example, when we talk about the 15 signs, but there are, like, for example, there's three that are really common that we see a lot.
Okay.
And those three are, well, the number one report that we get is an expressed or implied threat. It happens quite often. There's a lot of threats out there. And so that's our number one report. Trespassing is another report that we get quite a lot of. So people will see someone who's in an area that says employees only, or a restricted area, and they don't belong there. So we get notified of a lot of those type of reports. And then the third most popular one is photographing and surveillance.
Oh, okay.
We get a lot of reports from people that are seeing people that are taking, you know, that unusual amount of photographs, or maybe hanging around, you know, looking like they're surveilling a place. And
I know,
so we get those.
I know that drones are kind of, you know, one of the newer technologies out there. Do you get any of those reports from people with drones maybe surveying?
Yes. Okay. We get a lot of reports of drones. Drones is certainly part of a surveillance thing. The issue with the drones is we don't, a lot of times we're unable to identify the operator, so we don't know what the intent of that drone is. But the photography and surveillance, we see it in critical infrastructure, houses of worship, schools, and things like that.
Okay. And it's just, I think I should note on a side note here, we do have a drone page at our website, njohsp.gov, if anybody wants some tips on what they should or should not be doing with those unmanned aerial, you know, crafts. So now I know we often say that we'd rather chase down a dead end tip than miss that call that could have saved a life. Do you have any real world examples of incidents where maybe the public could have made that call and it could have had a different outcome?
I have a couple of examples that are good with unusual behavior. And again, calling the police, not necessarily knowing what the intent is, but mm-hmm. maybe a person would need help. When the there was a gunman that took hostages in a synagogue in Texas in 2022. Later on in that investigation, it was revealed that he stayed in that area for several days. He was staying at a homeless shelter, and he was actually surveilling the synagogue on a bicycle back and forth for several days.
Oh.
So that would be unusual behavior to somebody that is familiar with the area. The second example is when the individual stabbed the author, Salman Rushdie, in 2022.
In New York, I remember that.
He told investigators that he was outside the entire time he arrived in town, and he was sleeping in the grass and walking around town. So you can't help but think that maybe somebody would see that.
And that is, you know, unusual behavior, I would think. Somebody sleeping in the grass outside. So had somebody called and just said, okay, I'm seeing something that's out of the norm here,
right,
and police had been able to respond, that could have been a situation that was averted. but unfortunately they didn't. Do you have any success stories? Any areas where somebody did make a call? And
We do have a lot. Most of them are law enforcement investigations.
Okay.
But there was, for example, back in 2016, someone had set off a couple of bombs in New York and New Jersey and injured some people. And then 2 days later, a shop owner in Linden arrived to a shop and saw somebody sleeping on his steps. So he called the police, and the police, when they responded, they were able to identify the actual hit, that person as the actual bomber that committed that crime.
Oh, wow. Okay. That is a success story then. Now, I know that much of the information from suspicious activity reporting, as you mentioned, is law enforcement sensitive, meaning we can't share too many specifics. But what can you tell us about NJSAR's trends that we're currently seeing in New Jersey right now?
I tell you, the biggest trend right now is the rise in threats, either expressed or implied threats. And it continues to rise. And what happens is we get a lot of reports because they're influenced by international or national events, such as, you know, Supreme Court decisions, international conflicts,
got
national
a lot
political
of geopolitical
issues.
Tensions right now with Israel, Hamas.
Yes, so yeah. it really you really see the increase in expressed threats, and in threatening behavior because of that. You know, we try to remind everyone that threatening the lives of a person or a group of people because of who they are or what they believe in is certainly a violation of our laws. That, you know, we've enacted them to protect the community, you know, from hate and violence. And so we really, really need the public's help in reporting these types of threats when someone or a place is threatened. Because maybe we can prevent it, you know, from turning into a physical attack. So that's really the biggest trend that we're seeing right now.
Well, and from my understanding in the past, New Jersey was already handling one of the highest volumes of calls for suspicious activity reporting in the nation. So the fact that there's an uptick, it's both good and bad, right? Because you don't want to know that those activities are happening out there. You don't want them to happen. But at the same time, you know, your messaging must be getting out there to people. So that's good news in and of itself, I would think.
When it comes to the threats, we came across the study earlier in the year. Now, it's a consumer study. It's not a law enforcement study.
Okay.
But the study was out of the, if I remember, the Center for Services Leadership out of the W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University. But what's interesting about the study is that they found there's an alarming incidence of increase in customer incivility. So what they were saying is that customers are becoming increasingly aggressive when it comes to solving their consumer problems. And not only that, but I have to look and see what the numbers are here.
That's interesting.
The percentage of customers seeking revenge tripled since 2020, and 25% of those people view hostile behavior as acceptable. So when it comes to dealing with a consumer issue, they feel it's acceptable to issue threats, to humiliate, use foul language, and to lie as being acceptable. So that's in the consumer world, you know, based on a consumer study. But
sure,
we're seeing it, that same type of attitude and increase in threats in all other sectors, you know, in critical infrastructure and in the energy sector and in healthcare. We're seeing the same thing, the same increase in the attitude of threats.
And with the advent of cell phones, you know, and the camera footage on it, like we're seeing it on YouTube, we're seeing it everywhere. I know exactly what you're talking about. You can catch a video of somebody on an airline, you know, berating the employees, or, you know, somebody in a big box store, you know, losing it on management. It's just, it's becoming more and more common, I feel like. But
it is.
It's funny that study, I guess, backs up exactly what we're seeing out there on the internet.
Yes, it's confirming what we're seeing on our reports, too, that we get across the state.
So let's say somebody does see suspicious or unusual activity out there. Do you have any tips for the public on, you know, what they should be on the lookout for, what they should be reporting?
Again, we'll focus on, you know, someone's behavior and whether it's unusual or suspicious. But it's important that If you do see something like that, or if you have that feeling, that you call your local police department. If it's an emergency, you know, don't hesitate to call 911. If you have a tip or you have information that you want to volunteer and it's not something that's ongoing, your local police department will take that information also, and they will forward it to us. Or they could always call our tip line, you know, at the 1-866 number 4-SAFE-NJ.
Which we should point out is staffed 24/7. So that's important. People can call our line at any point at any time. And we do follow up on every single tip that we receive.
Yes.
So I think that's really important for the public to know. And you can do it anonymously, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
So in the course of a day, mm-hmm. you know, we're getting reports in constantly all day long. But we get them from citizens a call. We get them from police departments across the state, as well as other state agencies. We even get reports from the transportation companies, energy, and manufacturing, and these come in all day long. What happens is that this information then gets put into our database, which is a suspicious activity reporting database. What's nice about that database is our investigators and the FBI, within hours, take a look at that information, filter it, run it through some computer checks, and then there's a discussion on who's going to actually follow up on that lead and investigate it. Sometimes it's the FBI, sometimes it's our internal detectives that'll follow up on that lead, but it is looked at within hours. The other item that I wanted to point out is that some people may be surprised, but the FBI keeps to investigate a lot of tips and leads that come in from regular citizens volunteering information, not just from police departments or other agencies.
Okay. It's good to know. Well, I'm going to ask the golden question here. Is there anything else you want to add? Anything that maybe we glossed over? Anything you think the public should know, especially right now with the holiday season and mass gatherings? And I know that right now it's probably pretty important to highlight vigilance, correct?
Yes. You know, just please, you know, have everyone be aware of their surroundings and don't hesitate to say something or to let the police department know. And again, you know, the general public does not have the immediate ability to determine if something is either suspicious or nefarious, or if somebody's committing a violent act, or if someone just needs assistance. So we just really want people to just say, hey, is this unusual? Is this not a normal part of my day that I'm seeing? I think I'll let somebody know.
Okay. Well, on that note, I think we're going to close out another episode, and we just appreciate everybody tuning in. And I have to plug it again, as we do normally. If you see something, please say something either to your local police or to 866-4-SAFE-NJ or to tips@njohsp.gov. Thanks again, Dean.
Good. Thanks, Maureen.
Again, all links can be found in the show notes and on our website, njohsp.gov. If you'd like to pitch an idea for a future episode, email us at communications@njohsp.gov. Thanks again for joining us, and don't forget to subscribe to Intelligence Unclassified.